In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today, the gospel reading comes to us from Luke chapter 10. And actually, this month of Abib focuses on like the apostles and the work of the Holy Spirit in the church. So this gospel tells us about the sending of the 70, and when the Lord sent them to minister. And I think, you know, yesterday we celebrated the Feast of the Apostles, and the Feast of the Apostles comes on the martyrdom of two great saints, St. Peter and also St. Paul. So in light of that, I'd like to speak about St. Peter for a little bit and just, you know, pick out a couple of points maybe we can learn from his life, because I think, you know, we can relate to St. Peter. But before, you know, I get into St. Peter, we have to realize that when we speak about the saints, we have to understand two things. We have to keep them, or look at the saint, in light of Christ and in light of the church. What do I mean, in light of Christ? In light of Christ, we look at the saint and look at Christ's work in this saint. We don't just look at them, oh, this guy's a great saint. So where's God in his life? We have to realize that, you know, that God was the purpose of this. This guy just didn't want to do this just to, you know, be popular and write his name in the synaxarium. No, but he did this because of his love for Christ. We have to look at the saints in light of Christ. We also have to look at them in the light of the church. You know, what did they offer to the church? They offer the church an example that this is something that is possible. You know, being able to pray or whatever is, you know, for long periods of time is possible. Enjoying prayer is possible. another thing we have to realize is that, you know, maybe, you know, I've sometimes felt this way, and maybe some of you can relate. Sometimes we look at these saint stories and it makes us feel a little depressed, or a little like, man, they're somewhere and I'm somewhere else. You know, if you look at like maybe the story of like Saint Pishoy, remember him? He was in the cell, and he had this rope that came down from his cell, and he tied it to his beard. So anytime he would fall asleep, it would yank him awake so he can continue to pray. So this guy, you know, he couldn't spare a few moments of sleep so he can pray. Sometimes we're the opposite. We want to sleep and we can't spare a few moments just to pray. So you look at him and you're like, man, I'm gonna get all depressed and like, where is he and where am I? There's no hope. These are the saints, you know, where am I gonna be? Sometimes the church puts forth many of these kind of stories, and these are, you know, true stories, but how they got there is, you know, is worth investigating, something we need to look at. Don't just look at the end and say, compare yourself to the end and say, you know, forget it. So St. Peter. Now, St. Peter, like I said earlier, that he relates to us. At least I feel he relates to us. And actually, if you look at this, you know, the what we know of St. Peter was written in the Bible. And what we know of many of the saints in our church is written by us, you know, in the synaxarium. And if you look and compare the two, in the synaxarium, you know, you look at all the saints from the beginning to the end, there's maybe rarely any, you know, negative part about a saint. You know, it's all like good stuff. They got martyred and everything was happy, and they were happy for people to slice open their, you know, their abdomen, whatever it might be. And you read this, you're like, wow, I can't even come close. But then you look at, read the Bible, and you look at St. Peter, and you look at maybe St. Paul, or you look at David, or you look at Jacob, and you like, they have many faults. They have many weaknesses. So this actually, and you can tell, one is written by the Holy Spirit, the one that shows the faults, and then the one written by a man doesn't. So actually this is, you know, something that validates that the Holy Spirit wrote Scripture. It wasn't mere man. If mere man wrote it, there wouldn't be all of these negative things about these, you know, idolized figures, maybe in the Bible. So St. Peter, I think, relates to us. If we were to describe St. Peter's personality, what would we be? Would we say that maybe he's, you know, calm, quiet kind of character? No. He's very courageous. You know, he's impulsive, very emotional kind of guy. You know, there was once, of course, we know he was a fisherman, and one time they got on the boat. They left Christ on the land. They got on the boat, and you know, this was after the feeding of the 5,000. They got on the boat. They got in the sea, and it became very boisterous. It was very rough, and they all were like getting worried, what's going on. And then they see a light coming. They said it looks like a ghost, and then they realized, and Christ told them, peace be with you, it's me. So maybe, and mind you, all the 12 were on the boat, right? So when he said peace be with you, it's me, maybe the rest of them, the 11, were like, okay, now we can relax because the master's here, everything's going to be fine, we're not going to drown. But no, St. Peter says, he has to challenge him and says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Very impulsive. He didn't think about it. He's the only one that said anything. And he says, Lord, you know, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So Christ tells him, okay, come on out, step out on the water and come to me. So he starts coming to him. And then he's got his eyes focused on the Lord. And as soon as his eyes go elsewhere and realizes the trouble that he's in, he begins to sink. Water comes all the way up to his, you know, neck, and then he reaches out his hand and asks for the Lord's help, and he helps him. And then the Lord rebuked him, oh, you of little faith. All of this story and this rebuke could have been spared if he just would have stayed like the rest of the disciples, you know, and just kind of kept quiet and everything would be okay. But he was very impulsive. We can learn, I think, a lot from St. Peter. Also, if you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, again, everybody's, you know, disciples around. He's very stressed. He knows, you know, Christ knows what's coming. And then the people, the soldiers come, and Judas comes, and he gives him, you know, a kiss on his cheek, and he says, "So this is how you betray your master." And then the guards start to go get the Lord. And what does St. Peter do? Immediately takes out his sword and cuts off that guy's ear, right? And nobody else did anything else. Everybody else was just standing there. But St. Peter said, you know, I'm going to take off this guy's ear because he's touching my master. You know, maybe he could have maybe, you know, just looked at Christ. Do you want us to do this? You know, should we go ahead? Anything. No, it's just very impulsive. Sometimes we do the same thing. We're very impulsive, Yanni, sometimes in our decisions. And, you know, mind you, St. Peter was well aware of the Old Testament when he did this. And remember, in the Old Testament, one angel killed how many people? 60? Higher. 60,000 higher. 185,000 people. So one angel killed 185,000. And you remember what Christ told Pilate when he said, my kingdom isn't of this world, about it, when he asked him about his kingdom? Christ told him, if this was my kingdom, God could send 12 legions of angels. I don't know how many angels maybe are in a legion, but if one killed 185,000, maybe a legion could kill the whole world. That's just one legion, and the rest of like the 11 could just hang out just in case something happened. So, Yanni, I think Yanni, St. Peter got a little ahead of himself here, knowing the power of God and the power of one angel. So, same thing, Yanni, we sometimes get a little ahead of ourselves and we become kiddo impulsive. So, this was Peter's personality. But despite his personality, he could still, you know, he was still chosen to be an apostle. So, for you and me, this gives us hope. When we read this story of St. Peter, and see how impulsive he was in his personality, this gives me hope, and that I can be even used in God's ministry, even in this impulsiveness, and God can change this, you know, this way in me, or at least modify it to be headed in the right direction. So we look at St. Peter and we say the first thing we can learn from him is hope. Hope despite my personality, despite my impulses. Also, despite my situation. You know, St. Peter, as we said, was a fisherman. And if the fishermen weren't, you know, exactly high-class, top-notch people. You know, they worked with their hands, and the fish is always, you know, on their hands. How many of us have went fishing before? That's it. Raise your hands. No one's gone fishing. Oh man, you guys are missing out. You need to find. I think Amma Murad and likes to go fishing, so you need to find him so we can go fish. So you can go fishing. But you know, when you go fishing, I actually remember one time when I went with Tasoni, we went fishing and we used the live bait. And I think for the 6 hours we were fishing, she didn't put one bait on there because it was disgusting. So imagine the fishermen. They have their hands, they're working like all of this zafara. I don't know what zafara is in English, but all this zafara on your hands the whole day, right? And then, you know, you're meeting people. I don't think any of us would shake anybody's hand that has, you know, fish zafara on their hands, right? So imagine these fishermen, they're probably going around not saying hi to anybody because they're embarrassed. You know, all their hand smells like fish. And those of you who's dealt with live fish, the scent does not go off your hands very easily. So these guys, you know, weren't exactly the high class people. But despite their position or despite their situation or their occupation, Christ still dealt with them and even appointed them to be disciples and apostles, to those to witness to the gospel. He used them in ministry despite their position. And I think sometimes, or some of us, we might feel a little, you know, we might have this low self-esteem in ourselves. When we look at and compare ourselves with maybe the rest of the people around us, you know, when we look at the occupation that I have, when I look at the car that I drive, the house that I have, sometimes we look at this and we have this low self-esteem and we compare ourselves to the people around us. And then in doing this, we mirror this on our relationship with God. God is wealthy like the people around me. The people around me don't accept me, so therefore God doesn't accept me. And this is absolutely not the case. With St. Peter, he didn't care, you know, who this guy's, who St. Peter's father was. He didn't care who he knew. He didn't care, you know, what kind of, you know, house or what kind of animals he had. He didn't care about any of these. So we can't look at, you know, the world and the people around us, and I feel bad about myself and where I am and what I've accomplished, and say God doesn't, you know, care about me, or God is not, you know, concerned about me, just like the people around me are. No, this is not the case. Christ and God are looking for our hearts. He chose these 12 apostles, and he chose Peter, despite his maybe very simple occupation, and he made him the pillar of the disciples and the pillar of all the Christian faith. And he granted him the, you know, the glory and honor to write and to be author of one of the, or two of the Bibles, the books of the Bible. So he gave him great honor, although he was very simple in his situation. So that gives us hope regardless of my situation. So regardless of my personality and regardless of my situation, and also it gives me hope because of my sin. I think if we look at the New Testament and say, what are the two biggest sins in the New Testament? We would say the betrayal of Judas and the denial of Peter, right? So these are like the biggest, you know, maybe two sins that we could look at in Scripture. But even though he was still counted to be among the apostles, you know, I can imagine maybe like if maybe you and I were in the car, right? Or maybe you and a friend were in the car, and as you're driving, you're playing on your phone and you're text messaging. And you, as you look down on the phone, you see the text message, you kind of, you go a little further on the stop sign than you should, and you didn't see this guy crossing with a bike. And you hit this guy on the bike and he falls off and is, you know, he's bleeding everywhere. The ambulance comes, they take him to the hospital. Of course, you know, you're gonna go, you know, face the judge. And then you stand up, you and your friend, you're the witness, you stand up with your friend, and the judge asks, you know, so were you the one that was driving? And your friend looks and says, no, I wasn't driving, he was driving. How do we feel? We'd be like, are you kidding me? You know, I came here to help support you, and then you're going to just stab me in the back, right? This is kind of like what St. Peter did, and actually what we do to Christ all the time. You know, every time when we sin, he pays the price. And it's because of our sins that he was nailed to the cross. So when we deliberately deny him and we deny his way and give in to maybe the mockeries and the things that are in this world and the peer pressure that we're facing, we sell Christ out and say, he did it, not me. So despite even this, St. Peter was still chosen. And you look at, the times that he, again, we're talking about these things, of course, he's a great saint, and we honor him, he knows, that we're just learning from his life. And I pray that he's not, looking hard upon me for talking about him like this, but, I think, if we can learn something from him and apply it to our lives, he will forgive me. So we look at maybe when St. Peter denied him three times. This is tough. It's like maybe the judge asking your friend three times. The first time, sometimes we could say, oops, I denied him. I was under stress and I just denied him. The second time we could say, oh, it was out of weakness. I'm sorry. They threatened me or whatever. The third time, he swore that he didn't know the Lord. So this is even more hurtful for Christ. But despite all of this, Christ still wanted to restore him and forgive him. And that's why after he rose from the dead, he said, go tell my disciples and who? And Peter, that I want to meet them. Because Peter is in a vulnerable state, and I want to make sure that he feels that I forgave him. And he goes to Peter and says, do you love me three times? And he says, I do, Lord. I do, Lord. I do, Lord. So he restored him back to his apostleship. So despite my sins, despite my weaknesses, I can still be a tool for God to use. And, it all comes down to this response to my sin. What is my response to my sin? Am I going to confess, or am I going to just, blow it off to the side? The Lord says to us in the book of Isaiah something very beautiful. He gives us, this promise. He says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though your sins are like crimson, they will be as wool. So something that is red, crimson and scarlet are both the red color. So like these are, we're bleeding sins. Christ says, though you're bleeding sins, I will make them white. I will make them pure again. So he gives us this promise in the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, he says, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive them, or he is faithful and just to forgive them. So how do we respond back to the sin? Do we do like St. Peter, and we weep, or do we, kind of put it on the back burner? So despite St. Peter's sin, despite his situation, and despite his personality, this gives us hope that God can still use us in his ministry. We can still be tools in his hand. So the first thing we learn from St. Peter is hope. The second we learn from him is his humility. Is his humility. Again, there was once where, the disciples, were fishing. They came back and they didn't catch any fish. So they had their boats there, docked. And Christ began to preach to the people during the day. So St. Peter allowed him to get on the boat and to cast off a little bit and to use his boat to preach from. So Christ is preaching from his boat, and then then Christ tells him, St. Peter, I want you to launch back out into the deep. And he thinks, we just came back from fishing, we didn't catch anything. But he says, at your word, I will go out and I will cast the net. And then what happened? What happened? They come back empty? They caught so many fish in that one boat that St. Peter had to yell to his friends, bring the other boat over. We have great catch here. So they brought the boat over, filled them, and even the Bible says that they were about to sink, or they were sinking because of the amount of, fish that they had. So we see here, although, this happened, St. Peter, after he saw this, he said something amazing. He says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So he saw the work of God, and he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. he realized where, you know, where Christ is in his holiness, it revealed to me my sins. So he felt, you know, he felt that he's not worthy of Christ. And he says that I have, you know, I'm a sinful man. O Lord, depart from me. So do we want Christ to use us as he used St. Peter in his ministry? If we do, then we have to be humble. We have to be humble. And actually, this is why the church in general loves the phrase, I'm a sinner, or I have sinned. You know, it's always something that is repeated in the church. And this is not to say, some people accuse us and say, okay, you know, you always, you know, you Orthodox people, you always, you know, worry about, or you always stress about, you know, the sin, and it makes us, you know, feel depressed and makes us feel bad about ourselves. But, you know, us as Orthodox, yes, we look at our sins, but at the same time, we know God's goodness and His love. We have confidence in it. So it's not just because we focus on our sins that we forget God's love and His mercy. Absolutely not. if we look, there was, you know, a story that I heard from one of the fathers about His Holiness Pope Shenouda that really kind of, you know, rung with me. So one day, some of the priests in Cairo were meeting with His Holiness, discussing some issues. So the Pope opened the forum, and the priests were saying all of their opinions and things like that about this issue. So maybe like 2-3 hours, you know, into the night, they're discussing these issues. And then after the end, you know, of the talk, you know, they're coming to say, you know, to take His Holiness's blessing. And the priest telling the story says that he went, you know, to Sayyidina, and he told him, you know, Tabnek ma'ana ya Sayyidina, which means, yani, kind of like, we troubled you with us today. You know, we kept you up, and you just heard us rambling, you know, all this time. And his response was something amazing. He said, the only thing that troubles me are my sins. Pray for me, Abuna. This is after like all of the exhausting work that the popes do and all of this. And he sat there and listened to them for 3 hours or whatnot. And then he says, you know, Tabnek. You know, Tabnek is kind of like, you know, you can like pick up a piece of paper. Tabnek. It's not Tab, really, you know. But they sat there, and he's like coming from traveling, and he's sitting, is one thing after the other. And then he sits there listening to them, and he says, the only thing that troubles me are my sins. Actually, Yanni, this teaches us, or Yanni to him, or to teaches me that I learned from it, is that, you know, any physical labor can be endured. But our sins are another thing. Yanni, it's, we can endure physical labor, but it's my sins. Can I really endure my sins? And again, that's why the church teaches us to say, I am a sinner, I am a sinner, I am a sinner. Because when we look at our sins, and if we don't feel like we hurt God by our sins, then yani, we didn't accomplish, you know, anything. In the Kiyahkab Psalmody, we say one of the beautiful hymns, we say in it, for you have chosen the publican and the adulteress you have saved, and the right-hand thief you have remembered. So remember all of those people who said, I am a sinner. The publican, you know, remember the story of the publican and the Pharisee, or the poor man. And they said, the Pharisee said, God, I thank you that you didn't make me like other men, to be adulterers, to be unjust, to be wicked. And that I, you know, and I give, you know, my tithe, and I fast on Wednesday and Friday. And then it turns the scene to, you know, the sinner, or the tax collector, and he says, God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. So he says, and of course Christ said, this man went away justified. Why? Because he says, I'm a sinner. So when the church teaches us to say, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, this is good for us because it helps us realize that when we sin, we injure Christ and we sadden him. And actually, you know, I remember when I was in the Holy 40 Days, you know, learning the liturgy and things, I realized this kind of was the theme of the liturgy. If you realize every response, the congregation says what? Lord, have mercy. So the people that are saying, Lord, have mercy, are those who are in need of something from God, are in need of mercy. The people who realize our weakness and we need your mercy. So the people cry, Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. And then when it's something that they agree, they say, Amen. Those are the only two things we say in church. So Amen and Lord, have mercy. Right? Even in the priests himself, the church trains the priests with this idea. In the morning prayer of incense, the priest prays, he says, receive to yourself this incense at the hand of us sinners as a sweet savor of incense unto the remission of our sins and with the rest of your people. So he says, receive this incense as a sweet savor of incense from the hands of us sinners. So it reminds the priest of his sins. And then the prayer, while the priest is preparing the altar, he says, grant me, O Lord, that our sacrifice may be accepted before you for my own sins and the ignorance of your people. And here he's not saying, you know, that the people are ignorant, but what he's saying is that when I sin, because I'm the priest, I do it deliberately and I know. And shame on me. But Lord, look at your people, and maybe they do it, you know, out of ignorance and lack of knowledge. So forgive them. So he's giving the people an excuse, and he looks at himself and says, you have nowhere to go before the throne of God because you know better. And then finally, at the final confession, the priest says, remember, O Lord, my own weaknesses and forgive my many sins. And where transgression has abounded, let your grace be multiplied in abundance. Because of my own sins and the abominations of my heart, do not deprive your people of the grace of your Holy Spirit. So he prays and says, don't let me be a hindrance for your people and your body and blood. Don't let me be the hindrance for somebody else. So it teaches the priest, and any priest that feels like he is maybe better than anybody in his congregation is not worthy to stand and offer the sacrifice. Really, after reading all of these things, yani, this is how, you know, so when we say kiddo, we are sinners, this is what we're supposed to feel. You know, even St. Paul ascended to the third heaven. If we could say, you know, St. Paul, you're the chief of all the saints because you ascended to heaven. But he looks to himself and says, no, I am the chief among what? Among sinners. He looks at himself as the chief among sinners. So it was St. Peter's humility that allowed him to be transformed from a mere fisherman to a great evangelist and a converter of souls to Christianity. So we learn from St. Peter hope, we learn from him humility, and lastly, we learn from him this sensitive heart, to have a sensitive heart. The account of St. Peter denying Christ was recorded in the Gospels. And in the Gospel of St. Luke, it says something different than the rest of it. He says, I think it's Mark, where he says, you know, that he denied him three times, and then after that, it says that his eyes fell on the Lord, or the Lord's eyes fell on him, and he saw him. And then immediately, he says that he went out and he wept bitterly. So he looked at the Lord's eyes and was sensitive to just the look. Christ didn't say anything. He just looked at him and he wept bitterly. How many of us have, I think actually a lot of us have dogs that visited many families, right? Sometimes dogs are kind of like the same way. Sometimes dogs, when you're upset with them, and you know, you can just look at them, and they'll just start crying and come at your feet, and their ears will droop and everything until you pet them and you tell them you forgive them. Sometimes we don't even do this with the Lord. When we come to confess before the Lord, we come and we sit in Abuna's office and be like, Abuna, is this new? Is this a new picture? Is this a new icon? Nice clock. Where'd you get that from? How you doing, Abuna? You know, how's life? I'm like, who cares about me? We're coming as somebody coming to confession. You're coming for yourself. You're not coming for Abuna to entertain him, to let him hear your stories. Where is this weeping bitterly? And I think this is probably why all of us, and myself included, we come to Abuna maybe with the same list of sins over and over again. We don't know how to weep bitterly. We don't know how to do that. Saint Peter, when he denied him three times and he wept bitterly, he never did it again. And as we read yesterday in the Synaxarium, he went and he was martyred and he told them, just don't crucify me like Christ, crucify me upside down. He didn't deny him again. Why? Because he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. He was very sensitive to hurting the heart of God. Same thing with those in the Old Testament. Same thing, you know, with David. He's very sensitive. So how are we? Are we sensitive to the commandment of God? Are we sensitive? Do we realize when we sin, we hurt the heart of God? Or do we, when we sin, some of us will come to confession with a piece of paper, and then after we're done, we fold it up, put it in our wallet, and come again. If Abuna says, come tomorrow and confess, you'll just take it out of your wallet and you'll repeat the same things over and over again. So we leave confession with the idea and intent that I'm going to do the same things anyway. There's not this weeping bitterly. There's not this contrition of heart and this, you know, I regret that I what I did and I don't want to do it again. Lord, help me change. If there is any wicked way in me, change it into a life everlasting. These are the things we can learn from St. Peter. We can learn to have hope despite our circumstances, despite our personality, situation, or sins, to have this humble spirit as St. Peter did, and lastly, to have this sensitive heart that when we sin against the Lord and we hurt Him and He desires better things for us. May God grant us the spirit of repentance always for the salvation of our souls, and glory be to God forever. Amen.